Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener. Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Here we go!
You're listening to the Emerald Flow Show on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Welcome to episode 96 of the Emerald Flow Show. We're a podcast in the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. You can follow us on social media on X and Blue Sky at Emerald Flow Show. You can always leave us a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, which would be greatly appreciated. And if you're feeling generous, you can donate to the show at voicesofwrestling.com/donate. I'm Gerard, back here with Paul. And Paul, I was like, okay, there's not that much to talk about this. Then late last night, something happened. And it's ridiculous and embarrassing and a lot of things. So it turns out the gimmick of the Fool is a shoot. And Yuma Aoyagi got into a car accident. And he's fine. And the other person in the car that he crashed into is fine, except for a leg injury. Although we don't know how severe. But I take that as it's not life-threatening. His driver's license had been expired for about a year. He had forgotten to renew it, I guess. So he has been suspended for 3 months and taking a 50% pay cut. Right as the Real World Tag League gets underway. And they only had one match. But Aoyagi and Anzai are out. Double Yumas are no more, and I doubt they're going to be restarted after he comes back, although you never know. Aoyagi, it's funny because he did a press conference where he's wearing glasses and he'd taken the dye out of his hair. This is very serious, right? You're not going to show up with your dye.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that was him.
Yeah. and apologize and everything like that. Very foolish, of course, to not renew your license on time. I don't know what the, shall we say, the litigious culture of Japan is in, over automobile accidents. So I don't know if he, like, if he's getting sued or if it's going to be a big sum or anything like that. I don't know. But obviously, it's still embarrassing for the company, especially after other automotive accidents, shall we say, that they had been involved in this year.
Yeah. Yeah, especially this year, maybe. Don't do that. Yeah.
And I wonder how smashed up his Lexus got.
Yeah, I mean, well, did he really get, like, I thought it was, like, his, like, the person he was driving with was the one that got injured on the leg.
Yeah, on the leg, but his Lexus.
Oh, his Lexus. Sorry, I misunderstood, too.
Because he had photos that looked like Carmel Ito hooked him up with a Lexus.
Yeah. I mean, that looks to be the case that, like, all Japan wrestlers get, like, special deals at Carmel. But, I mean, what a fitting end to, like, a terrible year for him in many ways, right?
Well, Paul, my first reaction is like, yeah, maybe I think it sucks that he screwed up the Real World Tag League, but him gone for a couple months would not be the worst thing ever. I'm going to be.
Yeah. No, actually, he probably needs, like, he should probably, like, just, I don't know. Like, I think he needs some time away. I think he needs, like, a bit of an ego check as well. I've got the feeling too.
Well, this is the,
like,
ego check.
A bit of a reality check. Yeah, for sure. Like that, like, this is what it is. Like, I think he kind of needs that.
And look, here's the thing. I mean, we don't know for sure. And of course, I have seen all sorts of rumors swirling around that he has a sizable hand in the booking, but he's not going to for 3 months.
Yep.
Assuming. So who knows if that's true or whatever. He obviously has some in, given that him and Kento are like the two highest ranked wrestlers left after Suwama's gone, right? I mean, who else would they entrust with that sort of thing other than maybe Hideki? I don't know.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I mean, like, there aren't really that many, like, veterans left in the promotion, right? Like, is...
No.
Like, at this point, I'm trying to think, well, like, out of the contracted wrestlers, Kento is the one with the most, like the longest term, right?
Yep.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, like, everybody else is gone.
Aoyagi second, was in terms. Yeah.
by a lot as well. Like, I don't think it's even particularly close.
What Aoyagi did is, like, he hit, like, 10 years, I think, in 2024 or something.
Yeah. Like, I think Isashino, like, legit, like, third longest on the contract wrestlers?
In terms of a career, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, in terms of, like, being under, like, all Japan contract continuously.
Oh, no. No, Hokuto and Atsuki and Dan.
Oh, Hokuto. Yeah, true. I forgot.
Actually,
yeah,
Hokuto Hokuto debuted a couple months before Dan and Atsuki.
Yeah, but, like, what I'm saying, like, it's a young, like, promotion, right? So, like, that actually doesn't leave a whole lot of people to actually, like, give the book to. So I guess it just has to be Kento now. Unless they want to, like, get the Saitos involved, since I assume they have a bit more maturity since they're a bit older, but they're not experienced enough, I would say.
Yeah, that's the thing. They're not experienced. Neither is Anzai, right?
Yeah, I mean, Anzai is both too young and not experienced enough, yeah.
Yeah. Same with Honda. So, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
We don't know who, what, but I just find it hard to believe that Aoya had no input on any.
No. I mean, it was very obvious. Like, it's all the comedy. Yeah.
So maybe things will work out. However, there's more than just screwing up the Real World Tag League. There was going to be a real one match Real Blood show on December 10th, where it was going to be Naoya Nomura versus X, which had been teased on the Real Blood X account. And it turns out that was clearly going to be Yuma Aoyagi, because Naoya Nomura put out a tweet saying his opponent, without naming him, was suspended by his promotion.
I wonder who this could be. It could be anybody.
and this is all machine translation, so be wary, but it sounds like that Nomura is done after the Real World Tag League, the way he phrased it, with All Japan.
Yeah.
Which is also very bad. Stupid.
Yeah, no, like, it's just all around, it screws up so many things. Like, it's, again, I think the Real World Tag League is still, like, the worst one, right? Because presumably those two were gonna, like, win it, or at the very least, like, go to the finals, or, like, be important. Yep. Like, at the very, very least, be important all the way until the end, and now that's just completely gone.
Well, also, they should be begging Nomura to stay. Because you've just lost the roster for 3 months.
Yeah.
And, I think...
Presumably, they have some money as well.
Yes, because they're only paying him 50% of his... And I think it's also safe to say that Nomura and Honda are not winning the Real World Tag League now. else.
You think so?
Although they could swerve us.
Yeah, because I'm like, yeah. Well, I mean, somebody has to win, right?
Yeah. Go and Nishino.
No, we do like Havoc versus Havoc.
Yeah. Kento and Davey Boy would be, I'd hate that.
Yeah, it's also kind of, well, that means that like, I mean, I don't know what the plans were, but I mean, that definitely means you're not going to do a title match at the Yoyogi show again.
Yeah.
Like a tag title match.
So really, so I think that would be kind of a weird. Nomura are a good choice and you beg Nomura to stay.
Yeah, basically.
You know, Nomura sounded very upset about all this falling apart.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I mean, what I would have done in like All Japan, it's like what I would have done in like by like all from like All Japan, I would have like offered him somebody to like replace Yuma in the match, whether that be like Honda or I don't know if you want to give him like Kento, but you know,
yeah,
I would have like basically been like, look, sorry, we suspended like your opponent, but like you can have like this guy instead. That's and again, like why be upset with like All Japan when like,
well, he's not upset.
You must fall.
Well, who knows who's upset? We don't know who he's upset with. He just said that he was very disappointed about just it not happening.
Yeah. But again, I mean, that's where like as All Japan, I would have just been like, oh, well, you can here is a replacement.
Yes. Given that
and we're like, we're giving you that guy for free. Like that's the other thing. I wouldn't have just been like, here's a guy, but like, it's literally like, yeah, you can just have it for free because we fucked up your plans.
Given that they had only had one match, Paul, do you think that this was, they should have just stuck Inoue with Anzai?
You
guy?
Yes, but you know, like similar to like Ozawa going out of the N1, like Japanese promotion just don't do that once the tournament has started. Like if this had literally happened last week before the tournament started, then that's what I think they would have done. Like I think they would have just been like, here's Ryo Inoue. And like we have to shuffle the booking around still, but like, we don't have to shuffle around as much as we would have had to do otherwise. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bad
place
situation.
In the real world tag league before. Yeah. Not a good, I don't know. It's just so, they better work real hard to make the rest of the tournament good to make up for this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, like this is just a massive, like, again, this was supposed to be like, the Yumas were supposed to be like one of the cornerstones of the whole thing. Yeah. And now they're just not there anymore. So now all of it is just, and flux basically.
And the main event of December 31st, like, especially not that I thought it was going to be this, but with Aoyagi out, is there anything they can really do other than they really can't do anything other than Kento versus Anzai unless they have some big outside?
Yeah, unless I hope they don't see him at that level, but like, I'm kind of afraid that they're gonna do Kento versus Davey Boy, but like, I don't know, I don't think so. I think it has to be
Yuma. Turns on Kento or something.
Yeah, I think it has to be Anzai. Like they just now have to like come up with a way where like Anzai still somehow gets a match with Kento where he beats him, which I assume was like the plan that they were gonna do that during the Real World Tag League, where like Anzai beats Kento in the tag match and then gets the shot based off of that.
Oh, they could always there's someone else they can always call now that they have some extra money to spend too.
Suwama?
No, you know who I'm going to say.
Oh, I don't think they're going to call Nakajima. I think that might literally be the last person that they're calling. I think they might literally call Shima. Actually, you know what? Maybe Shima is actually more unlikely than Nakajima based on the way that whole relationship ended. Because at least Nakajima put Anzai over.
Yep. So there's that. In some better news, finally, the Osamu Suzuki album with a lot of wrestling themes have been released. So if you want Anzai's theme, you want Dan's theme, and the Jake Lee theme, those are all there. And there's actually quite a few other themes on there. There's like, there's Chono's old, when he was a babyface, Fantastic City. There's Holdout, by which the Muto theme. Like, it's actually a pretty good album. I was listening to it on YouTube Music.
Yeah, no, like I've like, obviously now that the Anzai theme is finally there, like whenever next year I'm gonna hit up Andrew to like redo the theme, like that's gonna definitely go in there, because we almost put it in there last time, but like we just had like a fan recorded version from inside the arena and it sounded like shit.
Yes. We got some great Sakuya. We have Ryuki Hanzo theme.
There.
We have Asuki Aoyagi theme. Honda's Black Tiger theme. I'm not sure which Black Tiger because it doesn't say. We got the Muga theme. And then there's another Tatsumi Fujinami theme on there. Grand Sword live version. And we've got a Kazumi Kakuta theme, which seems really random.
Yes, no, there are some very random themes on that. On
Koji
that
Doi, Tetsuya Endo, Seiya Sonata Probability. So that's older. And then Ryo Inoue's theme. And Fumi Hito Kihara, the Tiger Kihara, the old ring announcers. He's also wrestled.
Makes some sense.
So yeah, check it out. It's a good album and everything like that with all those. Oh, and Goshi Ozaki. Yeah, that's finally, thankfully, that is out.
Yeah, that took so long. Like, it was so weird that it was released nowhere, so like nobody could really upload it. And like the second it like gets released, like somebody just immediately grabs it and uploads it, basically. Although in this case, I don't think it's even ripped. I think it's like an official upload. Yeah.
No, yeah, it's on YouTube Music. But I just find it funny that, I mean, it, like, because yeah, Anzai debuted, like, yeah, he would debut September 2022, so it's been 3 years.
Yeah, for to put it in there. So yeah.
Well, no, I'm
happy it's finally out. Yeah. Yeah, dance theme too. Yeah. No, like we basically have like almost everybody now, I think, from all Japan.
Yeah, let me think. Yeah. Rising Hayato. I don't think.
Well, but he just uses Sex Pistols.
No, he's got another theme, not just a My Way.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so check that out. So we'll go to Big Japan first. They had a show yesterday on November 25th at Korakuen Hall in front of 407 fans, and their last show, Korakuen show before that, had about 500, and like, you know, and then the show before that was 600. So Horso Daimanji is not setting the world on fire, even by
no, which is bad. I had the feeling that he wasn't going to be that big of a draw. He's a great wrestler, but
yeah,
I didn't expect him to really be like drawing, to be honest. And yeah, looks like he's drawing even worse than I thought he would. So that's a bit unfortunate.
Yeah, he's not a big name even on the indies, really, and he's an outsider champion. So I feel like that just doesn't really all work in.
There's also the like unfortunate thing of like, well, he is Korean and they still, especially given. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he is. I think.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure he is. Let me double check that. But like, also given, you know, like, given like, you know, some of the imagery used by Big Japan in the past. Oh no, he is. Oh, oh no, yes. He's from Hokkaido. Okay, he's from Hokkaido. I thought he was whatever. He's not. Okay, never mind.
Well, he could be.
I mean, he could be Zainichi. Yeah, but that's the like. I thought he was like Korean from Korea and not like Zainichi.
Oh, okay.
But maybe he's also just Japanese. I don't know.
It's too bad. And well, we'll get into it in a minute. But I only watched two matches off of the show because there wasn't really much else. I'm not going to watch Daichi Hashimoto and Hideyoshi Kamatani versus Abdullah Kobayashi and Ryota Hama.
Yes.
And the only other good match on the only other, well, and also Joji Otani was in the second match. But the only other good match on the undercard went 3 minutes and 15 seconds. Somehow they let Kaiji Tomato and Tatsuhiko Yoshino versus Kosuke Sato and Fuminori Abe only go 3 minutes, even though that could have been a good match. Oh, well.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, it's like, it's Big Japan. It's that promotion. Like, I mean, I literally picked like going to great over going to Big Japan.
Yeah. And so we start with the top two matches, which the semi-main event was for the number one contenders for the Big Japan World Strong title. Yasufumi Nakanoe defeated Kazumasa Yoshida in 16:07 with a diving elbow drop. This is a very solid match. I'd go maybe 3.5 to 3.75 stars. Nakanoe worked the leg. Yoshida had some good counters. Good, solid wrestling. Did not set the world on fire, but it was needed what it, you know, was perfectly fine for what it was and everything like that. So Nakanoe is now the number one contenders. And then we go to the main event for the strong title. So Daimanji defeated Yuya Aoki in 18:42 with the Black Rain to make his first defense of the title. Paul, this was very good. I'd go in maybe the four and a quarter range. You know, they kept up a really good pace, always doing something, very little downtime, and really strong closing stretch in terms of both of them hitting their finishers on each other. And with an incredible bump from Daimanji on the Kesegiri chop, the running Katsugiri chop from Yoshida with like a flip bump, which looked awesome and everything like that. And then Aoki also kicked out of a Black Rain earlier, but then like Daimonji finished him off with two Black Rains, one from the front, and then pulled them up and did it from the back, which is sort of like a running elbow to the back of the head, or to the head, kind of like the Hidden Blade sort of, but not like, but more like pointed with the elbow. So that was really good, and it was a very good first defense, and really worth checking out if you like Big Japan or are willing to dive into it for a bit and see what the this Daimonji is all about if you haven't seen it before. Because, like, look, he works Land's End, Big Japan, and Great. So not a lot of people have seen him, you know. And on the 21st, that's before you're going to be in Japan, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm landing. Yeah, I'm landing at the end of the month. Yeah.
Okay. So he's defending. Nakanoue is challenging on December 21st. And look, you know, the Big Japan's booking is chaotic and nonsensical, even more so than many other companies that we complain for that to happen. So I would not be shocked that Nakanoue, one of their guys who's been champion before, beats him, especially after this. And he gets one. And, you know, Daimonji got his one defense against one of their top guys. So. There's no one really with left to defend against. He beat Hashimoto for the title.
Yeah.
Nomura is out and also a freelancer, but also recovering. And then Sekimoto broke leg and is also a freelancer, but also still in Big Japan. So the only other credible challenger is Kamatani, but whatever. So, but I think that Nakanoue is.
But then, like, Nakanoue immediately runs into that problem as well, though.
Yeah, I mean, this is bleaker than all the challengers.
Yeah, I mean, very much so, very easily. Like this is bleaker than like all Japan during the bleakest periods, really.
Yeah. Look, I think Yoshida is a bit of a underrated guy because he debuted in 2021. So he's when like no one's been watching Big Japan. I think he's solid. Like, but you can't really run So Daimonji versus Kazumasu Yoshida as the main event at Cork in either.
Yeah, I mean, if Aoki drew like 400 people, yeah.
But I don't really see any evidence that Nakanoue is going to do better, maybe, because he's been around longer. But I just feel like, I don't know, I don't obviously follow the company closely enough to understand, but it just felt like Aoki had become a guy in that company, especially given the way he won his title over Okabayashi and how long he had held that title for in his first run, right? But, it doesn't seem to me that Nakanoue would be a bigger draw than him among the Big Japan fans at this point, but you never know.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I get they just had him lose it, but I suppose the play would have been to just give it back to Aoki, right? Like Aoki or Kamatani. That feels like, because it's not like Aoki was doing like gangbusters business, but it was better than this.
Yeah. That's the thing. Right, they were still doing the 500-600 range of Korakin with him on top.
Yeah, which was good for them. Yeah,
yeah, I just feel like and Nakanoue is what, in his late 30s, if not already in his 40s. Just feels like,
yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it's they should be working harder to get Yoshida ready. And okay, so he's 39. He's gonna be 40 next year. So not super old, but yeah, it just should be about Aoki and trying to make Yoshida into
Actually, there's one more person that So could actually defend it against.
Who?
Ryuji Sai.
Yes. I would not shock you if that happens on a Land's End show.
Yeah. Because I just looked up because I was like, okay, what is the Triple Crown reign with like the weirdest, like with like the weakest like record of like challengers? And the one my mind immediately jumped to was the like first Kento title reign, because that's not really a murderous row of like challengers for that one. And guess who's one of the challengers, right?
You decide. Well, of course, Sai.
Yeah.
Well, no, he had Sekimoto and he had Kengo Mashimo.
Yeah.
And who else was okay, so who were the weak ones on that one?
We had the bodyguard.
Okay.
That was his first defense was against the bodyguard. that was his last defense, actually. Sorry.
And he had Akiyama on that too.
Yeah, he had Takao Mori twice. he had Tsubama in there, like that was a good one, but like,
yeah,
I don't know, like Ryuji Sai was not great, like Bodyguard is not a great one, like Takao Mori twice is not great, like that reeks of desperation, right? Like you've run out of challenges completely, that you have to run out Omori again, Yeah, I mean, again, Akiyama, that's a good one. Like, Kengo at that time was a good one. Sekimoto at that time as well. But, like, I don't know. Like if I just look at it, like, give me a Triple Crown reign, like, that was, like, of, like, similar length that has, like, a weaker lineup of, like, challengers than that. So I can't really think of one. Because it was over a year, like.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, actually, you know what? I just thought, actually, it's the Suwama reign that also went similarly long. Had less people. They had Funaki, Taiyokea, Kenzo, Yuji Nagata, that's a good one, and Seiya Sanada. Like, especially Kenzo in there, in, like, Sumo Hall is, like, Jesus Christ.
I mean, they really thought he was going to be something when they brought him back.
Yeah.
Because
that 8,000 is also absolutely a lie. There's no way that's true. There's no way that is true. Hmm?
Do you think it's even 5?
I would have to go and look at it. I don't remember what it looked like at the time, but like...
Because if it did less than 5, that's quite the lie. Like that's
yeah, oh yeah, if you lie up to, if you lie up more than 3,000 people. Yeah, but like absolutely 0% chance that through 8,000 people. Like no way.
So that's Big Japan, and I'm gonna continue to ride this heavyweight, the strong division. Nonetheless, though, because I mean this was good, and I think Nakanoe versus Damanji will be good too, right? So there are some things happening in the company, even if the deathmatch division is dire. Like
I know a lot of people are doing a lot of dooming about like Japanese wrestling in general, but like to me, the one thing that is just basically done, like because I mean I don't agree with a lot of the dooming on like Japanese wrestling in general, like but I think the one aspect of Japanese wrestling that is legitimately going to die is deathmatch wrestling.
Yeah,
there are no people coming up. If you look at it, all of the deathmatch people are over 30. There are zero young deathmatch wrestlers.
Well, there was Yuki Ishikawa, but he retired.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think he was still under 30 when he retired. But again, he's retired, so.
Yeah. Well, listen to this is the deathmatch on the show. So it was the fluorescent light tubes plus barbed wire board deathmatch. Yuko Miyamoto, Masaya Takahashi, and Kazumi Kakuta defeated Ryuji Ito, Kankuro Hoshino, and Takumi Sakurai in 10:06 with a light tube assisted grasshopper kick from Kakuta on Sakurai. So that is your state of your Big Japan deathmatch division right now. And that's not good.
Yeah. And like the youngest guy in that match. It's Sakurai at 36.
Yeah.
And I kind of looked for it, like, who are, like, the people that are, like, regularly doing death matches. And I think Takayuki Ueki is, like, the youngest at 32, which that's...
I don't really pay much attention.
And he's been doing it for, like, 10 years as well.
Yeah. I see things. I always overlook freedom. So I don't know what's going on.
They're, like, again, they have the same problem. There's no real, like, young guys that are doing death matches there either.
Yeah.
Like it's very dire. Like it's legit. Like it's just going to die out because nobody's gonna be left. That is like I mean to be fair. I mean some of these people hold out until their 50s, but then it becomes like well, like who's gonna make room on their card for like a bunch of like 50-year-olds to have a death match that nobody wants to see anymore.
Well, the reason All Japan did it because it was Onita, but there's no Onitas.
Yeah, no. Like sorry, Ryuji Ito is not. Onita, like
exactly right.
Yeah, so like it's that is the one that is the one dooming I'm allowing myself because I think I have like very good evidence that it is doomed.
Yeah, well, see, this I know people talk about Big Japan like surviving everything and all that, but I don't know what happens when you don't have a deathmatch for that company, right?
I mean, I guess it just becomes. Just purely based on the strong division, I guess. I mean, look, we're already down to like one death match on a Korakuen show. Like that's already like a lot less than like they used to do like 3 death matches a show. Like going back like 8 years or so,
mm-hmm.
and now they're doing one. And the other thing is actually like Japan is going to outlaw like the kind of light tubes that they use.
Right.
So like. Like, what's even the point? Like, if you don't have light tubes anymore and you don't have any young wrestlers doing death matches anymore, what do you even have left at that point, right? Like, what's the fucking point at that? Like, you've basically just, like, you have no future and you've lost, like... like, obviously they have other things, but like, I would argue the light tubes are like the signature thing of like Japanese death matches. Mm-hmm. So like, once they're gone, like, I don't know, like, it just, that just feels like the end of it.
Well, I'm gonna enjoy the strong division while it's anyway. So we go over to Pro Wrestling Noah. They had a show on, and oh, I should say that Paul, I didn't watch, other than the matches at Cork and Hall for the junior tournament, I didn't watch anything until this show.
So yeah, I mean, there wasn't
the second round. Yeah,
there wasn't that much about it really to miss. I mean, there was the whole like Masaoka turning on on Amakusa on one of the shows. I think that's really like the only like memorable thing, to be quite honest, from the second round. Like, there wasn't really like anything else. Like, I'm trying to think if there's anything that really impressed me. It's like, not really. Which, like, the whole Masaoka thing is also like, well, he was a heel last time, but like last time he was in Noah, right? Like, back in the spring.
Yeah.
When they did the whole like run with ASVAC and everything, and they challenged for the titles, and they were like, because I remember this very clearly, because I complained on our episodes reviewing that match, where I was like, I don't need like two separate like cheating heel factions in the same promotion. Like, that's unnecessary. And then he goes away and he semi turns face, I guess, only to then immediately turn heel again when he comes. Like, very weird. Like, I don't know why he didn't. Well, I guess they wanted to have the turn on Amakusa in there, but like, I don't know. It was just kind of a weird thing. But like, at least now they've consolidated the heel thing like into just Team 2000X. Well,
that's good, I guess.
Yeah.
So this is at Sendai Sun Plaza, and they drew 832 fans. Ouch.
Yeah.
Not good.
No. Although, I mean, again, Sendai is a town they always do bad in, but I don't know. I think at this point, I feel confident in saying that Kaito just isn't the level of draw that you need to be an ace. Great wrestler, but just, you know, he just isn't at that level.
And you think that's over. Do you think it can be regained? I mean, he's still young.
He never had, there's nothing to regain. He never had that drawing ability, really. Right?
No.
So, I don't know. Like, I just don't think that, for some people, it takes a bit longer, right? Like, Go took a while for him to become a draw. Nakajima took for him a while to become a draw. And maybe Kaito can have that kind of, like, resurgence as well down the line. But for those two, that happened, like, in their mid to late 30s. Mm-hmm. That's 10 years away for Kaito. So, yeah. And I don't know where he goes from here. I honestly think he should turn heel. I think they should do a double turn with Ozawa and Kaito. And kind of feels like that what they're teasing as well. But yeah, whatever they've been doing with this whole, like, all rebellion or whatever, like, that, it's just not working. And he just needs to do something different.
What is even all rebellion now? Keno gone. Galeno gone.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Kai Fujimura and Harutoki.
Alejandro. Yeah, and
Alejandro. Yeah. That's a bad faction.
They're okay, but the thing is, they're, you know, they're gonna do this. If they do turn Kaito, it's gonna be the stupidest way.
I don't know. Like, all you really need to do is, like, I don't know, like, Ozawa wins on January 1st, and then Kaito comes out, and then Team 2000X turns on Ozawa. That's all you really need to do. I mean, you don't even need to do it January 1st. Like, you just need to do it, like, at some... Like, because, I mean, let's not to get ahead of ourselves, but, like, I mean, Ozawa's winning on January 1st, right? Like, there's no point in, like, keeping this on Nomura.
I guess.
Because he got a big scalp, right? Like, he got a big scalp on, like, getting Kaito.
I know everyone is down on Inamura because of the gimmick, but I'm enjoying his matches.
Oh, no, the matches are great. It's just, like... I don't know. Ozawa is clearly the hottest guy. The promotion has become, like, clearly a lot colder since he got injured.
And the company is still built around him, even though he's injured.
Yeah, exactly. Literally kept him around. He was basically still on every show despite being injured.
Yeah.
Which to me just tells me they're just going to put the belt back on him.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll start with Daga, Daikyo, Tashima, Ninja Mac, Alejandro, and Amatsuka defeating 8X, Shuji Kondo, Yuto Kikuchi, Jun Masaoka, and Black Mutsu Ray. What a random selection on each side. 742 with the Ninja Bomb on Mutsu Ray, so just your standard junior opener where everyone does their spots. Solid enough. Semi-final for the Noah Junior Grand Prix. Kai Fujimori defeated Hayata at 8:38 with the Golazo. And Paul, this is a nice, solid, quick Hayata match and the biggest win of Fujimori's career. So I give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, same. Like, you kept the chart. Like, you put over Fujimori. Like, Hayata was still clearly, like, the favorite and everything. And that's how they worked the match as well. But, like, I think, yeah, like, Fujimori did, like, the underdog role really, really well. And again, the shorter Hayata matches are the better. And I think this, again, was, like, one of those evidences where, like, there was really no time for him to run out of steam because the match ended before that.
There was no time for him to have the match ended before that. Is a great way of putting it, I guess. So we go to the next match for the other semifinal. We have Hiromu Takahashi defeating Tadasuke in 10-11 with the Hiromu roll. Paul, what do you think? Because I have my thoughts of this match.
Could have been worse, I would say. Because the thing with Tadasuke matches now is that they're just filled with bullshit.
Yep.
So, I mean, I guess Hiromu's used to it, wrestling in, like, New Japan and, like, regularly, like, wrestling, like, Yoshinobu. Like, this felt very much like Hiromu and a Yoshinobu Kanemaru match and not in New Japan is what this felt like.
Paul, I have a hot take.
Okay.
Tadasuke should have won this.
Okay. What, you didn't like the final?
No, but I'll talk about the booking in a second.
Okay.
But when we get to it. So then next up, Kenta, Uko Sasaki, Tetsuya Endo defeated Manabu Soya, Saxon Huxley, and Kazuyuki Fujita in 5:34 with an inside cradle from Kenta on Huxley, which was just there, and it was only 5.5 minutes.
I don't even know if everybody tagged in, to be quite honest.
The Hiroki return match and 25th anniversary match for him. Naomichi Marufuji, Kenno, Jack Morrison, Junta Miyawaki defeated Mohamed Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, Hiroki, and Hajime Ohara in 10:25 with the Shiranui from Marufuji on Hiroki. Because when I think of Hiroki's career, I think of Jack Morrison.
Yes, of course.
That was a fine, solid little six-man and, you know, or eight-man for, but nothing much to it. And then the GHC tag team titles, Masa Kidami and Takashi Sugera defeated Tank and Tank in 11:29 when Kidami pinned Tank after Sugera hit the Olympic Slam to win the titles back and become the 74th GHC champions. I don't know, Paul. I mean, it was a little better than their first match.
That was still bad, though. And like the other thing is, like, Hank and Tank just aren't over. Like it's one thing, like, right, like the thing they did with Omos at the beginning of the year. That was all, like, weird booking and all of that. But at least Omos was over. Hank and Tank fucking aren't just, like, doing, like tag team spots to, like, gain sympathy to, like, absolute silence. And, like, Masaki Tamiya and Takashi Sugura working, like, half speed because they worked down to, like, the level of their opponents. Just, this was such a waste of everybody's time. I don't know why this was even a thing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why this was done. Like, they literally, like, just had them for a cup of coffee. I guess they can now go back to, like, the US and say, like, oh, we were, like, champions in Japan or whatever. But, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think the, like, WWE audience gives a shit about that. So, yeah, no, waste of everybody's time. And I hope these guys don't come back because they are not. They are just bad.
I don't get too worked up about it, is all I can say. But there will be more NXT talent coming.
Yeah, I know. But, like, at least give me, like, somebody that has, like, you know, potential to become better, not like these two chuckle-fucks.
Harlem Lewis, was it?
Yeah, Harlem Lewis, I think.
Was better, way better than them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, he was pretty mediocre as well, but, like, at least there was, like, some rawness there where he could be, like, oh, maybe he could become better. But, like, these two are just, like, these two are, like, fucking WWE, like, cookie cutter undercard, like, fodder for, like, the next 10 years, and one of the until they're, like, one of them gets released.
And then for the Noah Junior Grand Prix final, Hiromu Takahashi defeated Kai Fujimori in 14:26. With the time bomb too. This was a very good match. Second best match of the show, I thought. And exactly what it needed to be in terms of this match structure for Fujimura you know, he got his near falls and he got his big kickouts, but ultimately, you know, Hiromu did have to put him away with a time bomb too. So he, so Fujimori was made to look strong in defeat, and Hiromu won. And then he got on the mic and sort of challenged Amasaka for January 1st. But Paul, I don't know what the point of putting Hiromu over in this tournament.
Outsider.
And so look, you have Tadasuke, you know, cheat to win, even though I'm not the biggest fan of that. So you have Fujimura and Tadasuke defenses you could do before January 1st. I know that's not a lot of time, but whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you could have him, you know, before you get to Amatsuka. But this just feels like Hiromu is now just buried almost all of the junior division.
Oh, yeah. No, that was my problem with the booking as well. It's just like you haven't done like a junior singles tournament in like, what, 4 or 5 years? When was the last one? I don't remember.
Was there a junior, junior tag tournament? But
well, junior tag tournament, but I meant like singles tournament, right? Like that has been like a couple of years until the last time they've done one of those. And like you bring, and it like this just felt like you just brought it back to give it to Hiromu, right? Like if they do it again next year, I'm not going to judge them as such. But as of right now, like this just to me feels like they don't actually have a plan to make this a regular thing. They just did it this year to like give it to Hiromu, to like give him like another accolade for like some reason, which I don't think he really needs. And then he just like gets to pick his own challenger, which I think is, which I always also something I never really like either, because it just, I don't know, makes the challenger look weak. And you know, I would have preferred if you had like, I don't know, like Kai Fujimura like win this. And then, I mean, you don't even need to do a Tadasuke defense. You can just do like, you can just do like a Maxa, like, you know, you can just do Kai Fujimura, right? And then like on the undercard, like Tadasuke and like Amaksa have like a number one contenders match, and then you do it that way.
Yes, that also works. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. You'd also have Hiromu just pin him later in a tag or something.
Yeah, that too. But it's just, yeah, like this was a weird way of doing it. And again, it's like, yet again, like Noah kind of just takes December off. Like if you look, like there's nothing in December. Like fuck all.
Well, there's a bit in December, but not like title matches.
We'll yeah.
Second. But then in the main event for the GHC Heavyweight Championship, Yoshiki and Imura defeated Kaito Kimi in 16:36 with a discharge. Two words. I love this. And it was so funny that it's only 16:36 and they've dialed back the length of these matches for Inamura, but it's working. And I thought this was great because Inamura came across as very dominant, but this was not like an overwhelming squash by any means, but it just felt like at the key moments that Inamura always had counters and like used his strength to beat off Kiyomiya whenever he was getting, that Kiyomiya was starting to get some momentum. That's not to say that Kiyomiya didn't get some near falls with some like Shining Lancers and whatnot, but I just thought I really liked the way this match was constructed. My biggest complaint is the Ozawa walkout and the distraction, even though the match went on for like 5 more minutes after the distraction, it didn't really matter. I still think it was just goofy and is just like, I don't know.
It's WWE shit. I know what it is.
It's WWE shit for sure. But other than that, I did really enjoy it. And I know everyone is down on the character, but I don't care. I just really enjoying the Inamura matches. This title reign. What can I say?
Yeah. No, and I mean, to me, it's like, well, the character doesn't really distract from the matches, which I think is the, is the most important thing, right? Like, matches are still great. Like,
it's Ozawa's really character that's distracting for the matches.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, he was also like, I would somewhat put it on Inamura because, like, he also did that in reverse in the Kenta, like, when he came back.
Sure. Yes.
Right? So, so it's definitely something that I don't know if he's the one that inspired them to do that again. But still, it doesn't take away from the matches, though. So that's the main thing. I really, really hated the WWE shit. Like, that's why it couldn't really go, like, 4 stars on this. But otherwise, yeah, I also thought this was a great match. He kept it short as well. Like, he gave him a strong win, right? Like, because Inamura was pretty dominant as well throughout the match. Yeah. So, like, it was a pretty strong, dominant win. Like, Kaito got a little bit of offense, but, like, it was mostly Inamura, and Inamura won, like, relatively quickly. So you gave him a big, strong win, like, a big, strong defense that makes him look credible. And again, that makes me believe even more that, like, Ozawa's going to beat him, like, January 1st, because, like, he was put over so strongly here that, like, it felt like this win was, like, enough to, like, solidify him as like a main eventer, essentially.
Yeah. But after this match, I'm definitely on the they should do the double turn. I agree.
Yeah.
And just some other notes on the show. So obviously you're on on January 1st, it's obviously going to be Ozawa versus Inamura, and it's going to be Hiromu versus Amasaka. And also after Kenta challenged Sugira for a singles match on December 23rd, that's basically the 25th anniversary match for Noah. And also Segura's 25th anniversary as well, because Segura debuted in December of 2000, I believe, at Ariake Coliseum.
I actually just watched that match.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. It's on the thing.
That's a Kobashi versus Akiyama show, right? And then Vader versus Misawa, I think. The infamous Shinya Hashimoto versus Takao Omori.
Oh, yeah. That is on there. Yeah, no, I actually haven't finished it. I actually just started to watch the...
First big Noah show, right? Because they did the first debut back to back in different Ariake. This is their first big arena show in the company history. Although they returned to just Korakuen to do that 25 years later.
Well, I mean, can't really go to the Ariake Coliseum anymore. So
they have something else there. Isn't there a new Ariake or?
Well, the one that they ran January 2nd in 2024. Yeah. It's the Ariake Arena.
Yeah, okay. So just coming up, a couple of notes for Noah. On November 29th, there's a Team Noah Judgment show, which I assume is the Limit Break continuation?
Yeah.
Which is weird to do without Go, because he was the best part of those shows.
Yeah, it's also weird to keep Team Noah Life without Go, where it's just why?
And listen to this card. We got, because it basically, you could tell that this is basically a continuation of Limit Break without Go because of some of the stupidity on the undercard, but I'll show you. Hajime Ohara versus Deki Odoshima. Three-way match. Atsushi Kotoge versus Mikiya Sasaki versus Black Benson Ray. Hiroki and Ryoma Tsukamoto versus Sugataka Sato and Ryo Hoshino. So Tsukamoto getting a look from Noah. Interesting. Muhammad Yone, Gamarazu, who's a guy in a demon mask. I don't know who that is. And Kohei Kinoshita versus the Leave Mask Kai and the Leave Mask X. So
it's going to be such dark shit.
And then what I assume is going to be the main event is Muhammad Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, Hajime Ohara and Hiroki. So you got a bunch of guys doing double versus Kazuyuki Fujita, Shuhei Taniguchi, Harutoki, and Yudo Kikuchi. And Paul, I think it's time to put Team Noah to bed.
Yeah, no.
And then smother it with a pillow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no. There's no point anymore. I when they formed, I was what is this? And then I actually enjoyed them because everybody in there worked hard. But now with Go gone, what's even the point? Why do we need a faction made up of Muhammad Yone, Atsushi Kotoge, Hiroki, and Hajime Ohara? That's just that's literally one heavyweight in the entire faction now.
Yeah.
What are you even doing here? there's no point anymore. Put them out of their misery and just end this. There's no point keeping this going without Go. It made sense as this whole Go can have his own thing over here because he's unhappy with the way we've been doing things, but he's gone now. So just make him normal shows.
And then on December 7th at Korakuen Hall, we've got the Kaito Kiyomiya 10th anniversary Mad Decade. And he's working triple duty here. So we've got Kaito Kiyomiya versus Hitoshi Kumano coming out of retirement, or maybe. And then we've got two debut matches. We've got Deki Odoshima versus Koyanagi Hayato. And now Takahashi versus Hiroto Tsuruya.
Which one was the one that is 186? I remember looking at Tsuruya. The profile of the rookie, and he is
Tsuruya is the guy that everyone has circled because of his size.
Yeah.
We'll talk about them in a second. So we've got Kaito Kiyomiya, Harutoki, Alejandro Kai Fujimura versus Junta Miyawaki, Jack Morris, Naomichi Marafuji, and Andy Wu.
Wu alert. Gonna get Taz on commentary.
So that's the, and then of course the main event is the Iron Man match between Kaito Kiyomiya and Kenno. And then on the 23rd, is the only match announced is Sugera at Korakuen is Sugera versus Kenta, which honestly, I'm looking forward to.
I mean, it might draw just based off of that.
Yeah. Sugera 25th anniversary, and I expect it to be a match.
Hopefully. I mean, if it depends if we just get like Takashi Sugera or if we get like a Team 2000X match. So,
yeah, I feel like that's too, like, there's no way they'd do that. Oh, you never know. Yeah, but I feel like he would play his 25th anniversary match straight. But
yeah, I mean, ideally you are, but I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the three NOAH rookies that everyone has circled, and obviously that are going to be the future of this company one way or another. So we start off with, sorry, I got machine translation wrong. It's Yuto Koyanagi, and he is 173 centimeters and 81 kilograms, so he's a junior, even in NOAH.
Yeah, yeah, even in NOAH. I mean, it's borderline, but yes, because he's not that much smaller than like Nakajima, but yeah, I think he's going to be.
Yeah. He played baseball and Greco-Roman wrestling, but he was a teacher, apparently.
I mean, he is a bit older than the others. So.
Yeah, he's born in 2000, so he's going to be, he's 25, and he'll be 26 in March 2026, but whatever. Still.
I mean, that's still, like, I mean, again, we just talked about Takashi Sugura, who started when he was 30, so.
Yeah, and then we got Midori Takahashi. He's 182 centimeters and 82 kilograms, so he's going to be a heavyweight.
Yep.
He is a long-time wrestling fan since he was 13. He's born in 2006, so he's only 19. He did fail he tried to, when Kenno did it in 2023, held the auditions, he failed, but Kenno was kept his eye and kept telling him. So this is, it took him three tries to get accepted to NOAH Dojo. And, he has a soccer background.
Yeah, probably has good cardio then.
Yeah. But the one that obviously has everyone's attention is Hiroto Tsuruya at 186 centimeters, 88 kilograms, which is fine. He'll fill out. And his father is a UFC fighter. And his older brother is a UFC fighter. And his father was in MMA and his older brother is in UFC. So that's,
which, you know, that's also the potential to bring that guy in later.
Yes. And he is only 19 as well. In fact, he just turned 19 because his birthday is on November 12th.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, these two are like, especially like super young.
So yeah, two young heavyweights like this, that's your future.
Oh, his brother just had his first loss.
Oh, okay.
So who knows how much longer that career can go. He can also go and come into the dojo.
Yes.
Oh, no, his brother is a junior. This guy got all of the tall genes. His brother is a junior. His brother is 170 centimeters and 57 kilograms.
Okay. But look, I would say that this is bright for NOAH, and it's fascinating that NOAH is actually starting to have after a long time, it's having an age rollover finally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. Like that promotion is like a lot longer. You know. Like I'm actually like, if we factor these three in, I actually would like to like recalculate like what like the average age of the NOAH roster is, because it used to be like absurdly high for a while.
Like go back even 2 years.
Yeah. Like that was like, I think at that time the average age was like nearly 40.
Yeah.
Because he just had like so many old people filling up the roster, but like now I think we're like, it's probably more like in like the low 30s probably.
Yeah. So. Paul, we've got three matches announced for January 1st, obviously, and also Dragon Bane and Alpha Wolf, plus the junior title and the heavyweight title. This is Budokan, and look, Ozawa, obviously, as I said, is a draw, but not as big a draw as you might think. And Inamura, well, he bombed in Sendai, but he's working. What's going to be the extra spice or the double main event of this match or this show?
Oh, it's going to be some sort of tag involving Tanahashi and Nakamura.
You think that's actually going to happen?
I think they're going to do a tag match, yeah.
I wonder where
the problem is with that. That means that we just have to throw the show out completely in terms of like estimating drawing records, because that's obviously going to be what draws people.
Yeah. I'll be interested to see if they're on the same team or they're on opposing sides.
Opposing sides. Like, I don't think there's a point in like doing this like them. Like there is, like, it's not like they're like have like a record of like being a team. And like, for example, like Kaito has no match on the show. So you could do like Kaito and Tanahashi versus like Nakamura and like, I don't know.
Well, that's my next question. Someone. If it's Nakamura, is it going to be like Nakamura and
Alka?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Or is it going to send another WWE guy with him?
I hope not, unless like, it's like AJ.
Like Nakamura and Josh Briggs.
Oh, God. Oh, no, 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 no.
You got to assume Mara Fuji's going to be on one of the sides in that match, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true, Mara Fuji, yeah. Any, so, that's the option.
There's a, like, you, if you did it a six-man, you'd get Mara Fuji and Kenta.
Yeah, but then Kaito isn't in there.
Well, no, you, yeah, no, okay, so wait. So you have Nakamura, Tanahashi, Kenta, yeah. Mara Fuji, yeah. That's four guys. So, yeah. Five, and then...
Yeah.
Uka six, I don't know, you know.
I mean you could do like Alka, Mara Fuji, and
Nakamura. Yeah.
Nakamura or Alka, actually Alka, Kenta, and Nakamura makes sense, and then you have Mara Fuji, Kaito, and Tanahashi.
Yeah.
That's something you could do, yeah. Because again, it doesn't really matter like what the match even really is, like as long as you just have Nakamura and Tanahashi on like opposite sides. Like that's all you really need. Because that's very clearly what people want, unless you're like, you know, a specific American wrestling promoter, in which case you don't want that match.
Or maybe, what about the chances of like Tanahashi and Nakamura versus Hank and Tang?
No.
No.
Zero.
I'm just doing that to troll. But
I'm like, no, absolutely not. I already have my tickets for the show. What if that happens? Like, I'm just, I don't know. I'm gonna be somewhere else while that match is happening.
Yeah. So it's time to go move on to All Japan, which we talked about before, and obviously some of the results here you can throw out because there's some countouts possibly.
Yeah.
That's gonna happen. But we didn't have any countouts or DQs on these shows. So on November 16th at Corken Hall, we did 1,327 fans. And Paul, I thought that was a good opening number for a tournament that started on like a Wednesday or a Tuesday, especially given how All Japan has been doing lately, in all honesty.
And right? tournament, that's the other weird thing. If you just look like throughout, like the, like at least like with the recent history, I know for sure, I actually would have to look into it like prior to that a bit more.
Oh, they did 13-3 for the like opener last year.
Well, generally, like, the tournament opens always draw, like, shit. And so, like, it's actually good that they drew kind of solidly.
Yes.
That like, is if you look at it, like, the Champion Carnival openers are always, everybody always, like, starts to doom about All Japan. It's like, oh my God, they drew so badly for, like, the Champion Carnival openers. Well, they always do. They always draw badly for the Champion Carnival opener.
Well, look, this
for
is
some reason, nobody wants to watch that.
Well, Paul, first of all, also, this is the only tag team champion tournament in Japan with any percent.
Yes, that is true.
Like they have carried the torch. Even the tag leagues back in the day when it was like a G1 tag league, obviously not as big as the G1, but it still had more prestige than what has been the last like decade of them.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. No. Like nobody takes the real world tag league off.
Yeah. Exactly. So to start. Well, we had the opening ceremony, of course, which is always great. I love that. And very smart booking here because they just had to bleed into the first match because they started fighting. And it was Zion and Odyssey defeating Takashi and Kuroshio, Tokyo, Japan in 5:55 with a diving headbutt from Zion on Kuroshio. And Paul, that was just a perfect booking for a match between these two teams.
Yeah, like you really want to keep this short. Like you don't want to give them any time, really.
Yeah. And then we move on to Block A, Goshi Ozaki and Shotaro Shino versus Hokuto Omori and Kumarashi in 10:46 with the strong arm lariat from Shiozaki on Omori. I mean, perfectly solid. If anything, I thought maybe a little underwhelming because I thought they would have meshed well a little better, but it was fine.
I mean, it kind of set the tone a bit for like the rest of the tournament. Well, I mean, rest of the tournament. We've only had two shows so far, but
yeah, no.
Like this is kind of the like ceiling so far, unfortunately.
I don't know. Well, I thought this first show was actually pretty good or better than I thought it was going to. And then just June Seto, Musashi, and Seki Yoshioka defeating Dan, Tamura, Ryo, Inoue, and Shota Kafuji in 8:26 when June Seto pinned Inoue with the cycle break. Sorry, that's a mouthful, which is a little surprising because Kofuji's right there. It was just a short little match. Fine, it was fine. Then Ren Ayabe and Talos defeated Hideki Suzuki and Kengo Mishimo in 12:59 with the death roulette from Ayabe on Suzuki. So Hideki continues to be a good company man. I would say this was the third best match of the show. I thought, I was like, is Hideki going to try here? And he tried a bit, which I think helped this match. Because, you know,
yeah,
Necky, right?
I mean, no, he likes the foreigners if he he is not the one that brings them in.
Yeah. Yes. And this was good. I mean, you know, like, yeah, it was good. And Talos just gets it, just as a presence, right? Like, compared, like, Talos, like, look, obviously, like, someone like almost is, like, taller than Talos by quite a bit, actually, like, massive. But, like, Talos understands how to play giant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he's really, like, figuring it out.
And he's gotten some Japanese phrases in there, too, right?
Yeah. So
he's really working hard to get over. And
I like it.
Really have to applaud that, right? Yeah.
I have a comment as well for like his like backstage promo like on the second show.
Okay. I didn't watch that actually. But okay, so the promos. The Real World Tag League Block B, Kento Miyahara and Davey Boy Smith defeated Ryuki Honda and Naoya Nomura in 14:39 with the shutdown suplex from Miyahara on Honda and Paul. I think this might have been my favorite match of the show.
It was better than I thought it was gonna be. But then again, I mean it's really only Davey Boy that is dragging it down. Good.
Yeah, but Davey Boy just came in here and did big power moves, and that's fine.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I'm gonna be you know, probably like what this has got to be one of the 5 best Davey Boy Smith matches in all.
I mean, this year for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good, and like, look, I don't really have that big of a problem with the Davey Boy and Kento team because Kento can get the heat, and Davey Boy can just come in there and do big power moves, so it works on that level. Would I be more concerned if they were going to do a 25-minute final about Davey Boy bringing it down? But for like,
hopefully they aren't.
Good. Yes, hopefully they're not. Someone's got to pin Kenner to set up a match at the end of the month or end of December. And then the main event, Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hado defeated Yuma Aoyagi and Yuma Anzai in 26:03 with the Firebird splash from Atsuki on Yuma Aoyagi for the big upset. Paul, this was very good. I just thought it dragged in the middle for a 26-minute match, but the crowd was into this, and I would still probably put it the second best match of the show. And obviously, the result was a huge win. Do you think Yuma getting suspended takes away from this big moment?
I a little bit, because, right, it was like, I assume this was the Yumas weren't going to lose that many matches throughout the tournament.
And also, the Aoyagi and Hayato might have more points than they wanted them to now.
Yeah. So, like, but now, like, the Yumas are just gonna, like, be on the record with 0 points. So, like, this is gonna stand out less.
Yeah.
So, it does take away from it a little bit. But I also felt like the result was a little bit obvious as well, at least in the lead up to it. Because Yuma, like, literally said, like, if, like, I win the match, then, like, I'm gonna kick Atsuki out of the family. So it's like, yeah, okay, like, Yuma, that's great that you want to add a few more stakes, but like, that makes it really obvious you're going to get pinned by your brother. So, which is what happened. But yeah, I still like the match overall. It's just now with like a little bit of hindsight, it's a little less impressive, I want to say.
Given what has happened though, I don't know how many points they had always had penciled in for Atsuki and Hayato. But it might only be 2 points now because everybody else has 2 extra points.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, everybody else has 2 extra points. I mean, it actually doesn't. I actually honestly, like, does it really change the booking? Right. Because these two were going to have these 2 points anyway.
Yeah. But
like, that's unchanged.
The Yumas were going to beat a lot of people, I assume.
Yeah.
So they all have all the teams that they were going to beat now have 2.
True. But like, how many more were like Atsuki and, like, because like these two weren't gonna like make it to the final anyway.
Yeah, that's a good point. But so that was the first show, which I thought was a good opener, all things considered. So now we go to the Real World Tag League at Kira Mese Numazu, and I believe Yuma's accident occurred in Numazu.
So it had to have been after the show then.
Yeah. So I did not watch the non-tournament matches, of which there was only one. Oh, something about this car got moved around because the bus was late because of traffic.
Accident the from Yuma Aoyagi. Okay.
They said the bus was stuck in traffic.
Yeah, I mean, I also don't think Yuma would have like gotten in the ring right after like a traffic accident, even if he's mostly fine.
Yeah, for sure. So I did watch the opening match though on the undercard. Yuma Anzai defeated Shota Kafuji in 7-11 with a German suplex hold. And Paul, would you be shocked that this was a pretty good match for an opener like this?
Yes, no, I watched it as well. I was very happy with it as well. Like, I think Kafuji is like showing like good progress as well. Like he did the whole like young guy that is like standing up. Well, veteran is probably the wrong word here, but like he's like the like young guy that is like standing up to like the established wrestler and everything, and then ate shit for it as well. But yeah, I think at this point, like the chances of him coming out in a tracksuit in January have to be like close to 100, right?
Yeah, it's pretty close. He's in multi-mans where he doesn't even take the fall, and yeah, they're giving him singles matches against the regular roster, and
he's on every show.
He's on every show. Yeah, I don't think he's officially said he's gone. He's left Osaka style, but that's
my mind. I know that's not the name of the promotion, but it's just that's just on the forefront of my mind every single time I hear that abbreviation. I was like, oh yeah, right, that isn't actually the name.
So, and then the other undercard match was Jun Seto, Ryuki Honda, and Musashi defeated Yuma Aoyagi, Hideki Suzuki, and Ryo Inoue when Seto used the jackhammer on Inoue. So we go to the Real World Tag League. Renai Abe and Talos defeated Hokuto Mori and Kumarashi in 15:42 with a double choke slam. It's pin Omori, Abe pinning Omori. This went a little too long. And I thought maybe they could have did something with this, but I don't know. It was a little disappointing at the time.
Yeah, but went a little bit too long. But what I liked about it, like in the post-match promos, right? Like Talos was because he was like, right, because he used to be a member of Octagon.
I did see it.
He said, yeah, exactly. He was like, yeah, I thought we were just going to have a friendly match. And if that's how you want to play it, this isn't over. But like, okay, I kind of like that where he's like teasing that they're going to do. So, like, I don't know if that leads to anything, if this was just him cutting his own like angle or whatever. But like, I kind of like that kind of stuff.
Well, yes. But do we really need a Talos versus Hokuto Gun extended
feud? Well, if it's just, look, you know what you can do? It's like, he just like beats them and then like pins them with like a foot, like all of them stacked on top of them off each other. And he puts like a foot on their chest and just beats them all. I think that would work.
Yeah. And then in A block, Goshi Ozaki, Shotaro Shino defeated Dan Tamer and Hikaru Sato in 10:44 with the strong arm lariat from Shiozaki on Sato. And I thought this was bland.
Yeah. You also had Bruiser Hideki before the match going around whipping people.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was disappointing in terms of that. And then, oh God, Block B, Kento Miyahara and Davey Boy Smith Jr. defeated Takashi and Kuroshi Otoka Japan 12:07 with a diving headbutt from Smith on Takashi. And well, what do you think? I mean, like, what do you?
It was shit.
Yeah,
that's what this was. This was like the opposite of like in the first night where like they kept the like Takashi and like Kuroshio match short. Like this was just way too long, and like almost like a reverse also of like the Kento and Davey Boy Smith match where it's like, well, I mean, like Davey Boy is in there with like three great wrestlers, so there's not that much he can screw up. Whereas this is like the reverse of like, it's like Kento's the only one that can like carry this match, and like, he clearly didn't want to, so it was just absolute fucking nothing.
Yeah.
Like, Kento was basically like, yeah, I'm going to fucking take this night off.
And then in the main event, Zion and Odyssey defeated Atsuki Aoyagi and Rising Hayato in 14:45 with a diving headbutt from Zion on Hayato. And Paul, honestly, this might have been the best match of the show. It was either this or the Talos and Ayabe versus Omori and Kuma.
I mean, this was just a bad show.
Yeah.
I might go with Renai Yabe and Talos, actually, over Octagon, honestly.
Atsuki and Hayato deserve credit for trying to get something out of the champs. I'll give them that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they did try. That's for sure. I can't fault them for that. But it's also just like, I don't know if you just... Like, again, it felt like literally like the whole like wrestling a broom thing, essentially.
Paul, I have good news, though, because the next show, you know where the next show is?
Wait. It's in... Wait, Davey Boy said it. Shit. Is it in Okayama?
No, it's in
Sendai?
It's in the Koma Kumamoto City Food Exchange Hall.
Oh, Kumamoto. Oh, yeah. I was like, oh, God, it was like, yeah. So, yeah, we're going to get like a big, somebody's going to get a big slab of beef.
Someone is going to get a, yes. And honestly, the card looks much better because we've got, well, also on the undercard, we've got Yuko Miyamoto versus Shota Kafuji. Then we've got Hideki and Kengo versus Dan and Hikaru. We've got Go and Ishino versus Musashi and Seki Yoshioka, who finally have their first match. Paul, we are spared from Kuroshi of Tokyo, Japan, and Takashi because they were to face the double Yumas.
And
then we've got Ryuki Honda and Naoya Nomura versus Atsuki and Hayato.
I mean, yeah, that hopefully should be good.
So that's pretty good. I am going to fast forward a bit because, Paul, on the last night of Block in Nagoya, they had Kento and Davey versus the Yuma in Block B. They also had Zion and Odyssey versus Ryuki and Nomura, or Honda and Nomura. So that's interesting.
Maybe, yeah, I mean, that's probably the one that Honda is just Nomura most...
through the end.
Yeah.
They just have to put Honda and Nomura in through the end.
Unless they're going to do some sort of like tie thing where then like they have to have like, you know, like a tiebreaker match or something.
Yeah, they could do that. But right now, I'm feeling like maybe Honda and Nomura versus Go and Ishino, or I would not be shocked if they also said, I would not be completely surprised if it was Talos Abe either.
Yeah, I mean, I could. That's the one where like you kind of save yourself like giving away like a money match, right? That you could do later.
Yeah.
So like I can't rule that one out. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of, I don't know. I just like... Just to me, you don't want to send the champs into the final.
No, and especially not these champs.
You've already established them that they got some big wins.
Yeah,
they beat Go and Ishino, and they beat the double Yumas. They're established, right? Yeah. So you could have them lose on the last block night. So that's why it's just like it's got to be no more on, and you don't want to send Davey Boy and Kento, unless you're having, like, I don't know, Honda or Ishino pin Kento in the final.
Yeah.
But would you have any of those guys at Yoyogi?
I mean, that's the other thing is, like, do we know that they're really going to do a match at Yoyogi?
No, I'm talking about Triple Crown.
Oh,
I don't think
sorry.
Do the tag I think the tag titles are happening at Korakin because they've happened at Korakin in the past couple of years, even with
Fair, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I mean, you need to do some sort of Kento like Anzai match at some point if you want to set it up.
Look, it's harder to set up now.
Yeah.
Unless
it was just really easy before. Yeah.
But the easiest way to do that is eliminate Kento and Davey Boy and then before the finals, and then on the final show have Anzai pin Kento in a tag match.
Yeah.
But then the only
already done, yeah.
Finalists you have left in B block are Honda and Nomura.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I feel like the Yumas were like gonna win this. And this has just completely screwed that up, yeah.
Like the Yumas versus Go and Ishino would have been a great final.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I mean, I could still see Go and Ishino. Like I feel like, yeah, I mean, from like A block, it's like it's gonna be like Go and Ishino that go through. Yeah.
But the thing is, we know that Nomura is leaving. So Go and Ishino win, but then you could have Talos and Ayabe win, right? Because they seem
to
win. Yeah. This is also why Nomura needs to stay.
I mean, as much as I think Talos has been improving, like Talos and Ren Ayabe versus like Zion and Odyssey is like gonna be really, really, really bad. Like just unwatchably so. Like I really don't want to watch that. Like I might just like straight up if that is like I don't know, like if that is actually like if that like main events the Korakin on like the third, for example, right? I'm not going to that show. Like straight up because there's like the Marigold show in like Ota Ward on that same day, and like that one starts at like 2:30 and the All Japan show starts at like 11:30, so like in theory maybe I could make it in time, but like at that point I'm like, well, I'm just not gonna go to All Japan and I'm just gonna go like to Ota Ward and watch like Marigold instead.
Well, we shall see what happens. So yeah. Paul, any final closing thoughts?
Should I go to Kumamoto just to like go to like the food hall, to the food store?
It's kind like, of out of the way, you know.
No, it's not. I'm going to be in Fukuoka. Like, basically, one of my plans is actually... not even just that. My plan is to, like, base myself out of Fukuoka for, like, 4 or 5 days, basically. So, to, like, basically, like, go to, like, Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Like, and then I was thinking, like, Kumamoto or, like, the one, like, south of it with the volcano, Kagoshima.
Right.
So, like, and that's, like my hotel is like close to Hakata Station as well. And with the Shinkansen, that's like under an hour to get to Kumamoto. So like, I think I'm going to do that.
Get some fresh veggies.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe not in January, but
yeah.
But get myself a big slab of beef that I don't know, I'm going to prepare it somehow.
All right. So we'll be back in a couple, I don't know, in like 2 weeks. And we'll have a few things to talk about, like the tournament will have happened and then there'll be a few things in NOAH, but not much. So we can don't have to rush back, but we do want to cover the real world tag league and everything like that. So and maybe we'll see some more fallout from the Fool Affair or whatever you want to call it. Fool Gate or
Fool Gate.
Fool Gate, yeah.
Should we make that the episode title, Fool Gate?
I was thinking like just call it the shoot fool or something or something like that. But there's going to be a Yuma Aoyagi reference in whatever we decide to title this episode.
The real rockin' fooler.
The real fool or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So we will see you in a couple weeks and enjoy all the wrestling out there. Bye.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us. Only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.